Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Weekend Getaway. There may be some of you that sometimes feel like you're about to get crucified at work. You feel buried and you just need to get away for a few days and maybe you'll come back to life. Something about a weekend getaway, and I can tell you that a few thousand years ago, the place to be would not have been in Jerusalem. Jesus did not go to Jerusalem to get away for the weekend. He got away all right, but it wasn't until the third day. And I want us to look at some verses that'll talk about this, but I did find something I want to share with you. The Reverend Alfred W. Wishart, Jr. opened his Easter sermon at the Arlington Avenue Presbyterian Church in East Orange, New Jersey, with these words. Do you ever stop to think about how much time it takes to get all of you looking so nice for today? What with the shopping and all, I'd conservatively estimate that it took each of you 4 hours to get ready. Since there are about 500 of you here, there comes to 2,000 hours. Now, if you divide that up into 40-hour work weeks and allow 2 weeks for vacation, it breaks down to a full year of preparation for Easter Sunday. So that's where you've been since last year. So it's good to see some of y'all got ready to come back. I know it takes a while for some of you, but we are really glad that you're here. What is a getaway? It's the definition says it's an act or instance of just simply getting away or an escape. And if you look in the scriptures, it's interesting that Jesus, from everybody's perspective, and if you read the story, the account in any of the gospels, even his own followers, even the disciples thought, it's over. And even after Jesus had been raised from the dead, they went looking for him, bringing stuff to prepare him even more for burial, seal him up, you know, do the right thing they didn't have time to do on Friday. So they come even there, no one thinking he's alive. Sometimes you may think, well, I don't get it. I don't believe it. I don't understand it. You know, you're not by yourself. His own disciples, his own followers didn't get it. And literally the only way they got it was to seem, or in some cases, for their eyes to be open. But let me tell you something about God and the gospel and this whole church thing. You're not going to get this without God. I could stand up here and tell you stories. I can read you the scripture. I can try to be eloquent. I can do everything in my power, but it is not in my power to change anybody's heart or anybody's life. If the devil's got you, the only way you're going to get away is by the power of an almighty God who has the power and is capable of literally taking a dead person and raising them to life. You say, well, Richard, you don't know my problems. You don't know my challenges. You don't know where I've been, what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. Let me tell you something. This God can raise the dead. You got nothing that's worse than that. And the scripture says that before we come to a personal relationship with Christ, with the God of the universe, that all of us are dead. You're as good as dead already. And it's just a matter of time before time itself catches up with you and you're physically gone. But that doesn't have to happen. But I'm just telling you right up front, if you hear anything today that makes any sense and changes your life, it will be all Him. None of me, none of us, no song, no nothing that we've done will change your life except the Holy Spirit of God who works in our lives. The pyramids of Egypt are famous because they contain mummified bodies of ancient Egyptian kings. Westminster Abbey in London is renowned because in it rest the bodies of English nobles and notables. Muhammad's tomb is noted for the stone coffin and the bones which it contains. Arlington Seminary in Washington, D.C. is revered for it is the honored resting place of many outstanding Americans. There is, however, all the difference in the world between the tomb of Christ and these places, which we have just mentioned. They are famous and draw visitors from afar because of what they contain, while the garden tomb is famous because it is empty. And it's interesting, I've never heard anybody refer to Jesus as the late Jesus Christ. Now, whether you know it or not, whether you're religious or not, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you even believe in this or not, there's something about this story you just can't shake. Who is this guy? Who is this God? Now see, if I went through the room just here today, or anybody listening on a tape, wherever you may be listening around the world on the internet, if I asked you the question, I said, do you believe Jesus is alive? You'd be amazed at how many people actually say, yeah, I believe he's alive. Now, is it possible to believe that a man named Jesus lived, that he died on a cross, that he was buried, put in a tomb, a stone rolled over it, and that the third day Jesus raised him from the dead? Is it possible to believe all of that story and still not be a Christian? Sure. Because those facts are just that. That's just the facts. And Jesus is alive from the dead as much as if you jump off a four-story building, you're going to hit the ground unless you can fly. There are certain things that are just truth. You cannot change them. It is a fact. You say, well, I don't believe that. That's your opinion. Let me tell you something. The only way to prove me wrong is to die and see if he's alive. And then it's too late to do anything about it. Don't risk it trying to prove me wrong. He is alive. Now open your Bible. Matthew 28, we'll begin with verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Jesus is dead. He's been dead. It's the third day now. They're going to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus didn't need that angel to roll the stone back to get out. Don't be thinking, well, he was so dead and so helpless, he needed help getting out of his own tomb. That stone got rolled back so they could get in, not so Jesus could get out. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. If you read the other accounts of this, what happened was, and it's so amazing how the Romans themselves helped prove that Jesus was alive. The Jewish leaders said, you know, he said he would come back from the dead the third day. We got to seal this tomb, make sure nobody can get to it. So they put a guard on it, sealed the tomb, nobody get near it. There's guards watching this thing to make sure a dead man's not going to come out. If you think you've ever watched a tomb and felt stupid as a soldier, this is it. So these soldiers are watching this, an angel come down, and by the way, one angel. It doesn't take thousands of angels. One angel shows up, the earthquake hits. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. I'd love to hear. There's these movies I'm going to rent. I just want to hear the inflection on these angels. I know what you're looking for. He's not here. I mean, how would you say this? He's not here. Why? For he is risen, as he said. He told you this stuff. Now the angel's quoting Jesus. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now guys, I don't know about you. I mean, I'm not saying I'm scared of funeral homes and all this stuff, but, you know, going down to somebody's tomb is not exactly the thing you want to be doing. And this angel's all excited going, he's not here, he's risen. Come on in, let's look. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. And however he said this, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what, guys, they thought he was dead. And I love what they did. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. I've got a 3-year-old who doesn't worship me necessarily, but she grabs me by the feet. And sometimes it's so I won't get away. If you want to lock somebody up, grab them by the feet. They thought, we got him. We're not letting him go. Hold on tight. They held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. So they go telling a story. Now at this point, if you see this thing unfold in any one of the Gospels, this is what happens. Some of these women see Jesus. He's alive. They believe it. Now see, what happens in a room like this is some of you believe, some of you don't. So somebody gets it along the way and goes, I got it. I believe it. I understand it now. Jesus is alive. And you go tell one of your friends, look, I know this is going to sound nuts and you think I'm nuts, some kind of religious fanatic, but here's the deal. Nothing's changed my life. Somebody told me that Jesus lived, died, was buried, raised from the dead. Everything's changed as a result of that. And I want you to know that he's alive and he can live in you and your whole life be changed. And you say, uh-huh. You're shaking your head going, well, I know what's up with this person. My life's fine. I don't need this. Why do you do this? Don't you have something else to do on a Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all these nights you're going to Bible studies? Chill out. Get a life. Why do you need this Jesus guy so much? But see, what happens is you watch these people that are not just fanatical. They believe it. They live it. Are they hypocrites? Some people are that claim to be Christians, but a lot of people are just real people trying to live a real life and do the right thing and let God live in them and through them. And you keep watching that and watching that. And sooner or later, you know what happens? It wears you out because you got a life, they got a life. They get in trouble, everything seems to go up for them. You get in trouble, it goes down. They get squeezed and it helps them get better. It's almost like the problem is an improvement. And when you get hit, you go down, it's terrible, bad things happening. You want to go to a bad thing, go to somebody's funeral who has no hope of eternity, anything beyond, and watch them and listen to them. What a desperate place it is, because there is nothing beyond. There is no hope. There is no answer. They said, well, we're going to bet on the fact there is no God. There is no resurrection. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. That's it. You know what? That line didn't work at funerals like that. Because there's this helpless, hopeless feeling when people realize, what if we were wrong? What if there is more to living and dying than just surviving and buying a car and a house and getting your kids educated or whatever it is your goal is? What if there's more to it? Turn over to John chapter 11. Now, I'm taking you back a few days, literally a few days, like maybe a matter of weeks. One of Jesus' best friends is a guy named Lazarus. Had two sisters, Mary and Martha. But this guy, Lazarus, gets sick. They send for Jesus because they know he loves him. If you'll get here, you can heal him. You know, come do your thing and he's not going to die. And Jesus intentionally stays away until he dies and until he's been buried, misses the funeral, everything. He's his friend. And the disciples can't figure it out. Mary and Martha can't figure it out. Why would Jesus not come and save his life? And the whole purpose was so that he could raise him from the dead. Now, John 11, verse 17. So when Jesus came, he finally gets there. He found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I mean, I'd be a little upset too. I got the God of the universe in a body doing all these miracles, and my brother dies and he doesn't show up. What are you thinking, God? But even now, I know. Now, look at this faith. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. She is still believing. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. Sooner or later, this kind of faith's got to kick in. You say, well, that person's dead. Well, then God's just going to have to raise him from the dead. Well, this problem is, this marriage is shot. It's over. There is no hope for this marriage. And a wife or a husband comes back and say, God, there's no hope. It's over. But one of them says, you know what? You can raise the dead, can't you? It's not over. Look what she says to him. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, guys, listen to this. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is going to sound maybe bizarre to some of you. You don't need to just be raised from the dead. You need a life. It is not just about going to heaven, as amazing as that is. And there are a lot of Christians, including myself, who spent years thinking that was it. I got a ticket to heaven. My life's going to be hell. Make the best of it. That's it. And someone came along and explained to me, it wasn't just about living forever. It was about living now between here and heaven. You could get a life, a real life. Does it mean you're going to be healthy all the time or rich or never have any problems? No, all hell may break loose, but you're going to suffer either way, guys. You're going to suffer for doing the right thing or the wrong thing. You might as well suffer for doing the right thing. But you have somebody living in you. The God of the universe comes and moves literally inside you and lives. And he gives you the power to overcome whatever it is that comes your way. You may not get over it, but you can get through it. John chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Looked at her and said, do you believe this? Now listen to what she says. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And if you keep reading the story, he goes outside a tomb. I'm going to tell you, you want some power? You go in a graveyard and stand over a grave and call the dead out. You got power. This Jesus went out into this graveyard, a tomb, stone rolled over it. He's been rotten and dead 4 days and speaks words. And Lazarus comes out of that tomb. Move the stone, let him out. Now, guys, that takes some kind of faith. But you know what? It isn't my faith. It's not the amount of my faith. It's the object of my faith. I got no power, but I believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And if he can do it there, he can do it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Let me tell you something. If Jesus isn't alive, I quit. If he's not alive, I got nothing to tell you. I got no hope for you. You say, why do you get all stirred up about this stuff? This is not just my job. This is my life. I have no life without Him. You say, well, you need to work on that. How's your life working without Him? I say, you need to work on that. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable or the most miserable. You know, it's a sad deal. And I almost think people, oh, those poor Christians, they think they got it all figured out and they mope and groan around. You know, there are some depressing looking Christians out there. Have you met these people? Oh, woe is me. It'll be okay when we see Jesus. It'll be all right then. You know, if I can just hold on till Jesus comes. You know what, guys? You got to get a life. You can live. You say, but you don't know what I'm going through. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you're going through. In everything, give thanks. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say, God, you know what? Bring it on, because I'm not by myself anymore. I can't lose. And even if death comes my way, I can't lose there because I'm with you. So if I live, I win. If I die, it's Christ, it's gain. I can't lose in this deal. Romans 8, go back to the left. There's a big if in verse 10. It says this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now let me tell you something. Christ is not in you unless you let Him in there. You either have a personal relationship with God that you, I mean, how many of you are married? Raise your hand. Okay, of all those people that are married, leave your hands up. How many of you remember when and where you were married? Keep your hand up. Some hands went down. They weren't sober that day, but they're hanging on. You know, it's a funny thing. All those people remember the day somehow. They may wish it never happened in some cases, but you remember the day. People say, I got married. I say, well, you just made the second biggest decision you'll ever make in your life, who you're going to marry. Because the first is where you're going to spend eternity and who's going to have your life and how you're going to spend your life. And you're telling me, well, you know, I don't know when I became a Christian or, you know, maybe you don't know the time or date. You either know it happened or it didn't. It's the biggest decision you can ever make. You say, well, it happened when I was born, when I was 7 days old or something. Let me tell you something. I don't remember a lot about that. The only thing I remember about being born is this. It's just this really thing, pain coming on my face. That's all I remember. That's the only thing I can recall. I was born head first, if you were wondering. I'm talking about an experience, a place, a time where you say, God, I understand that Jesus died on the cross for me. Maybe He did it for everybody else too. I believe that. But this is about me and you, God. And it is my sin, my screw-ups, my past, my future, my everything that got Him nailed to that cross. And I understand it's about me, and I don't want to die without You. I don't want to live without You. And if He died, was buried, raised from the dead to cover me of my sins and to give me the forgiveness of sin as a gift and the promise of eternal life and being right with You, God, I want that. When you make that decision, you're going to know you've made that decision. You're going to have some peace in your life you've never had. You're going to have some joy in your life. You won't always be happy, but there's a difference in joy and happiness. You can have joy all the time, no matter what's coming down on you. But you'll know when that happened. Verse 11, Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. If you've got Him living in you, even if you drop dead physically, the power of God is going to take you on. He's with you. He's not going to leave you dead. You have the promise of this. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1 verse 15. Now this is Paul writing to a church in Ephesus and he's praying for them, and I want you to see one of the things he prays here. He says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and look at verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in heavenly places. You, if you know Christ, you've got this power, but let me tell you the nightmare of this. If you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you got nothing. And the reason you feel so helpless and so hopeless and you have to do it by yourself on your own and climb those hills and cry out and it seems like nothing happens, you're running on empty. You don't even have a tank. But you can change all that with a simple conversation with God and say, Father, I can't live anymore. That's what you do when you get desperate and you realize you're not going to make it without Him. You start crying out to this God and say, God, I come empty-handed, but I know I'm going to go away with everything. I deserve nothing. You're going to give me everything, Himself in you. It's unbelievable stuff. Romans chapter 10. Now listen close. Verse 1 and following. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel in this case is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them, talking about the law. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? It's not like you got to go looking for God in heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does he say? Now listen, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now guys, this is all about this. The word, look at it. The word is near you. You are so close to believing, you can't even imagine it. You ever heard somebody say, I'm almost there, it's on the tip of my tongue. Scripturally, biblically, the word of faith is literally on the tip of your tongue if you will speak the words. Now look at the words are. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. You say that's a simple statement. You cannot say that without the Spirit of God, not from your heart. You confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart. So I confess Jesus is Lord out loud. And that God raised him from the dead. He is Lord and he is alive. Then the Bible says you'll be saved. And repeatedly people say to me, it can't be that easy. And I say back, easy for who? Easy for me because that's all I got to do. Unbelievably painful for him because he had to die to make it so simple. He had to be buried and raised from the dead so that all I had to do was cry out and accept this gift of eternal life is just that, a gift offered freely to say thank you and take it or no thank you and walk away. And again, people say to me, I don't believe a loving God would send anybody to hell. You will send yourself if you deny this. You say, well, that's harsh. You know what? It'll be a whole lot better to have some harsh words now than have hell to pay forever and ever and ever. You say, well, I didn't come to hear a hellfire brimstone sermon. Oh, well.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He has begotten us. We have been born a second time to a living hope. There are days when things happen to me, as I'm sure they do to you, when you think, God, what are we going to do now? In our family, financially, what are we going to do now? Somebody gets sick, what are we going to do now? And out of nowhere, somebody praying for you or says a word, and this thing, it's like helium or something. Somebody starts filling you up and you think, where is this coming from? And he says, it's me. I'm not gone. I can still handle any of this. There's hope in a world that is hopeless and helpless without him. And I'm trying so desperately to communicate to you because this thing that scares the hell out of me is that you'll leave and you'll keep sucking air and trying it your way and we'll keep praying. And you say, why do you care? Because somebody cared about us. Somebody died for me, and they died for you. This isn't about being religious. This is about being passionate and knowing and loving a God who knows and loves you. Jesus may have had a weekend, but wow, what a strong getaway. And of all the weekends you may think you need to get away, you can get away and stay away forever. You can get a life right now, right here, and never be the same.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.